But welcome you who are on the webcast. Hopefully this morning God will bless you. I know He will. He will always bless us with His word and things, truth and light to which we need. Anybody this morning want to share with us before I get into the message what God's done for them, bless them with? Yes, go ahead.
Just something that's been really impressed upon me this whole week here is like since we've been moved and everything, and a lot of people are asking, well, why are you moving here? Why did you pick this place to move? And it's like a lot of people are so worried about the expansion and the growth in these smaller communities and all that, eh? And I just kept thinking that, you know, I don't want to go someplace to see what I can get from that place. I want to be a part of it and see what I can do there. And it just reminded me, same thing of the church.
Mm-hmm. What you can give.
To do for God, not to look for what we can get, but what should we be doing to give?
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of things we can give and a lot of things you can do, and you'll find that it works really well. And what you give, you'll always get back. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing. And remember, God sends you to a place to bless people,
amen,
not to curse them. So think of it this way. You are a blessing, not a curse. Praise God. Anybody else this morning? Okay. So I know some of you probably get some great testimonies in that, but you can send us an email to the church, or you can send a letter, or you can phone me. Either way, it works. And you can get in contact with us, and if you'd like to share some things, and send it on down, and we see if we can have time, we can do those sharing of those things from those on the internet. This morning, I'd like to talk about a certain few things. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Now, this is a subject to which I always said one day I'm going to put it together. Well, the Lord put it in my heart, put it together now. It's something I always knew and something I saw. Well, it was a number of years ago, but I don't think I ever taught on this. And this is circumcision. And I don't think I know for a fact I never taught on it, because I have all my records of everything I've done. I'm starting to have quite a library of stuff. I'm trying to simplify it, make it smaller, so you put it on a little CD or a little computer, and actually you can put an awful lot. But circumcision. Now the reason about circumcision, I want to read a few verses and then we're going to talk about it. Or I'm going to talk about it and you're going to listen. That's what I love about this. You have to sit and listen. Genesis chapter 17, let's read verse 9 to 14. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your skin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his skin, foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Let's just bow our heads for a quick moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, we just pray right now that your word and your scriptures would reach in each and every heart that hear and listen to this message, no matter where it may be. They may receive this truth and light, that they may walk in the glory and the power and the might of it, Lord, blessing each and every one. We just do thank you in Jesus' name. Circumcision. Where did it come from? And what is circumcision? The only place that we find circumcision that I find recorded and mentioned would be in the Bible. I use that as a great history book and a great lesson. Now, what is circumcision? Well, circumcision is very, very simple. It's the act of cutting off the prepuce, P-R-E-P-U-C-E. Somebody give me the right. P-R-E-P-U-C-E. Prepuce. Prepuce or prepuce? pipus, or foreskin. Very, very simple. We use foreskin. We understand that. Usually found on the male penis. Now, the reason why I say that is because we're not talking about anything funny, but to understand where circumcision takes place. Now, I want you to look at circumcision and the biblical significance of it, the purpose and the reason for it, and also how does circumcision relate to Christianity and relate to us. Is circumcision important for obtaining holiness, salvation, or any religious importance? Because circumcision is mentioned in the Bible and God commanded of God, therefore we need to know what it's all about. Anywhere where you find God wants certain things done, we have to pay attention. And how does it relate to us? Must circumcision be performed to be in obedience of God's command? You got to have an answer, not only for yourself, but also for others. Because when you people come across, you might find people saying certain things. And if you don't know the truth, it can be a snare to you, or you can bring people out of a snare that is upon them. Remember, it works two ways. Something can be a snare to you, and it is a snare to others. And if you know the truth, you're able to bring people out and get them free from it. Is there such a thing as a covenant of circumcision that God speaks of to Abraham? Now, let's think about this. How one often wonders, what is the purpose of circumcision? Is there any value of it? Is there any need for it? In some cases, circumcision is used for hygiene, also for medical reasons. When I was researching this, I found out that men can get cancer, penis cancer. I didn't even know this even existed until I read about this. Also, some think that circumcision can make a man more virile or more sexually active. Another question asked, is men the only ones to be circumcised? And can women be circumcised? The reason why this is mentioned is for a simple reason. There are certain things about what goes on and takes place in countries and nations and peoples concerning men and women. So we're going to answer some of these questions and look in and see what the Word of God says. What you will find that circumcision is practiced in many countries and many religions. Men and women being circumcised at certain different stages of life. Girls when they reach or just before puberty, or even when they're younger. Men when they reach adulthood, about 18 years old, some at the infant stage, some at the puberty. It's a wide range of circumcision. Also, men can be circumcised even when they're in years in adulthood. There's many reasons why they circumcise. The girl to circumcise, now this is what some places do, is the girls to curb their sexual desires. For men, it is supposed to make them more virile and their sex organ more attractive to women. For some, they believe this is a requirement for religious purposes, preparing them for heaven, or even the belief that it will get them into heaven because this must be done. For whatever purpose or reason, it is being done, and we must understand the purpose of circumcision according to the Word of God and the reason for it. Because what we want to do is be obedient unto God, but not be held in bondage to that of traditions of men and devils, which say you must be doing this, you must be doing that, and find out these things are not right. The three main religions that practice circumcision is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. There are no records that other religions practice this ritual. In other words, there's Hinduism, there's other ones and that. And you don't see it. And the reason why I said there's no recorded, in other words, they don't have it in their rituals and all that for this to take place. But what you'll find is that circumcision is done for religious reasons and non-religious reasons. In other words, circumcision is just not for religious reasons. They're done both. Also, you find where these religions are among the nations, you find circumcision being practiced amongst the people. Not all, but you find it being practiced. It's a part of their life. From Europe to Africa to North and South America, even to Asia, you will find that they circumcise. When researching circumcision, I found out that they did it not only for religious reasons, but also for health and virility. The health being hygiene, keeping it clean so it would not get rash or infections. You know children, and you know how much they take care of themselves. I remember when we were kids, Mom used to grab us, and all of a sudden she would hold us down, and we'd be screaming and kicking and yelling because the dirt behind the ears was starting to get there, impacted. And we didn't want anybody scrubbing us. Hygiene for children sometimes is not always the best, mainly amongst boys. Okay. Also, to help prevent, like I mentioned earlier, cancer. I did not know anything about this. I'm surprised, but it doesn't surprise me where you can get cancer, but they says it helps. Now, there's arguments for and against. In other words, some say no, some say yes. Some believe that your sexual prowess may be made stronger when you're circumcised. This cannot either be proved nor disproved. In other words, it went one way or the other way. It did not matter. Now, circumcision was not only practiced on men, but in some countries and religions, women were circumcised. And you'll probably read that even of today, it still goes on. Okay? Now, please note, nowhere in the Bible, I'll say King James because I don't trust anybody else's, you will find that women were to be circumcised. Only men were to be circumcised. You will never find a place in that Bible where it says women were to be circumcised. And I can understand, because if you look at the human anatomy, the woman does not have any part of that which can be circumcised. But if you go back into it, and like I said, there's other, when we come into certain parts, you will find there's a lot more involved in this about circumcising and the circumcision of women. And it is not good. But according to the Word of God, and anybody that says in religious practices this is to be done to women is a liar and it should not be done. Now, let's see why we have circumcision. There's a reason why there's circumcision, and there's a reason for it, and why God wanted it done. God speaking to Abraham and makes a covenant with him. Now, remember, when you make a covenant with someone, there has to be tokens or exchanges of something given. A handshake, paper. Some always remember, when a covenant is done between you and me, when you sign a contract with me, or make an agreement with me, years ago, it was a handshake. You had two witnesses. Sometimes somebody gave somebody something and said, this is a witness between you and me of the covenant we have here together, or the agreement, or the contract to which we are about to do. Whatever. I say covenant because this is what we're looking at. Now, God wanted a covenant, was making a covenant with Abraham, and the covenant he wanted from Abraham, in other words, the token of his covenant that Abraham was going to have with God, God wanted a piece of flesh. Now, you notice that God didn't want his ear, didn't want to take his nose, didn't want to take a finger or take a thumb. He took something which is actually happens to have flesh, extra. So it's not a bad thing. Now, in a covenant, there's always the exchange of something to prove a covenant was made. This foreskin was cut from his male penis. Thus the token made and accepted, thus a covenant between God and Abraham was made. Now, if you turn me to Genesis chapter 17, I don't think you've left from where I had you the first time. I want to read a couple things and let you look at this. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9, it says this, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations." This is my covenant. He goes to verse 10. "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." Verse 11. "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin." Now, just to mention here about women. Women do not have a foreskin. Mm-hmm. So you know for a fact. Okay. "And it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." So that's the token. "Now, this covenant was to be passed on from generation to generation. Every man child was to be circumcised, and that 8 days after they were born." Now, Genesis chapter 17, verse 12 says this, "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed." Young and old were to be circumcised, because Abraham was circumcised also, and he was 90 years old. Ishmael was 13 years old, with the age being from infant to adult. Everybody was to be circumcised, no matter the age. Verse 23 says this, "And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among them of the Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day, as God had said unto him." And verse 24 says, "And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with them. In every case, the foreskin was removed, the flesh to be cut away. If not circumcised, you were cut off from his people. This being that you did not have a covenant with God." It was really important that God wanted a covenant. And that covenant meant the foreskin had to be removed as a token. Now, one thing, once it is cut, it shows forth that you were circumcised. You can't hide it. Now, everybody must make a covenant with God. If you had no peace with God and no covenant with God, then you have still our enemies. The reason being, circumcision is more significant than just the cutting of a foreskin. And as we go through here, you start to understand and start to see there's more to this than just circumcising of the flesh. Now, circumcision was a serious matter to God. Remember in the Bible, in Luke chapter 19, if you want to turn in there, Luke chapter 19, it says, "Those mine enemies, which would not I would reign over them, bring them hither, then slay them before me." Now, there's a lot more involved in this. But I understand that if you don't have a covenant with God, you don't have a peace with God, you don't have a token of a covenant between us, then we are at odds. And us being at odds could be my end, especially if the one is stronger than me. If I'm stronger than you, that's well. But Luke chapter 19, verse 27 says, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me." Remember in the rapture, even when the young man was saying, "I'm going to heaven"? Well, you have to understand, all those that have made a covenant with God are going to go to heaven. Those who have not made a covenant with God are not going to go to heaven. And I can't change it. And some people, "Well, I don't like it, and I don't like the rules." Well, I never made up the rules. I just like the that Dr. Kenneth Hovind said, he who has the gold makes the rules. It's his place. He made the rules. We can't change it. We don't like it. Well, let's see, we have two choices. Either we accept it or we reject it. And if we reject it, then we get whatever we reject. But if we accept it, then we come under its terms. This is why when God talks about the grace of God, he says, this is by faith. Then we begin to understand God made the rules, and the rules are by faith, nothing else. So turn with me to Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50, not Genesis. Psalms chapter 50. Verse 3 to 5. And it says this, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. There's more on covenants as we go, but we're looking at circumcision and the covenant of circumcision and how it relates to us. Now, remember, and I want you to keep this in mind, because when we go down further, you're going to see this. Who was to be circumcised? Those that were born in his house and those who were bought with money. On the Mughal more as we go later, I'll come back to these people who were bought with money. In Genesis 17, verse 13, you don't have to turn in there because we read it already, but I'll just read it out, verse 13 and 14. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So we know the cutting of the foreskin is in the flesh. In verse 14, in the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, and it's not very hard to find out, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Do you realize that in the Second World War, if you were circumcised, they were almost positive you were a Jew? This is a fact. This is a fact. Because they knew the Jews practiced circumcision. And why would they go and check? Well, it's pretty hard to hide something like that, isn't it? It's not very easy to put something and recover. And that just doesn't work. Once it's cut away, it's there. Now, we do know that this ordinance was passed on from generation to generation because Jacob makes mention of it. If you turn me to Genesis chapter 34, so this is not something that was just given to Abraham. It said from generation to generation, and you're going to find that it was passed on and it kept going on. Genesis chapter 34. Look at verse 15. Now this is, just to give you a little bit, this is when the children of Israel were in the land and one of the people of the land laid with Jacob's daughter. So the brothers went there and they said, this is what you got to do to become like us. You have to be circumcised. Now we're not going to go into detail of what all happened with their sister and everything else, other than that they said, you got to be like us. In other words, Jacob and them carried on circumcision and the law of circumcision and the covenant of circumcision to which they had to follow. Remember this, okay? So Genesis 34, verse 15, but in this will ye consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. We find that Moses gave the law of circumcision, thus establishing this ordinance that God commanded his people to follow. God wanted it to be done. Now remember, Abraham was before the law, and God wanted it done. Moses was the giving of the law, and God wanted it to be done. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, look at verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let them come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Of the sacrifices or anything, he had to be circumcised. And there's a reason for this as we go. The priests being the ones to execute the law of circumcision. Moses gave us the law of circumcision, in which all male children were to be circumcised. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. This ordinance was kept even in Jesus' day. Do you realize John the Baptist was circumcised? Luke chapter 1, verse 59, and it says this. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. You realize that Jesus was even circumcised? Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 says this. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of his child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus fulfilled all the law. Mm-hmm. And everything that said in the law to be done, Jesus did. Even circumcision. He was circumcised. Now, we find circumcision is still practiced amongst the Jews today. Also, amongst, we'll say, religious Christianity. Because Christianity, when we say Christianity, I say the true Christianity is still being practiced. We find amongst religions that have the form of Christianity still being practiced. And you find Islam still being practiced. Some of the other ones, I don't really know 100%, but I know that a lot of people from different places, different walks of life, get circumcised. Some religions and countries, they make a very special event and celebrate it. But today we ask ourselves, what does circumcision have to do with Christianity? And is it relevant for us today? Because that's what it all comes down to. That was all in the Old Testament. What does it have to do with today? Now, Jesus was circumcised. God wanted this ordinance accomplished and to be carried on from generation to generation. So it must have had some significance. But first, we should understand what circumcision signified or what it pictured. There's not an ordinance nor statute given that wasn't without significance. Now, if you look at the sacrificing of a lamb without spot was a picture of Christ, our sacrificial lamb, that was to be sacrificed for us. The reason why I'm going to mention this is the simple reason, if you don't see this, you're never going to see circumcision to what it symbolizes and what it pictures. And you'll be like other religious people going around doing things that you ought not to be doing. So, first, turn me to John chapter 1, verse 29. Remember, you had an offer a lamb for a sacrifice for your sins. And we know that if we went out and took one of somebody's farm and went and got a lamb and sacrificed unto God, that's not going to get you there. We know that Christ was the sacrificial lamb. When John seeth Jesus, he says this. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But we know Jesus didn't look like a lamb, but he was related to it. So do we see the sacrifices of bulls, lambs, sheep, goats, rams, heifers, oxen, pigeons, doves, all signifying a spiritual significance. All ordinances and laws were a shadow of good things to come. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 10. And we look at verse 1. He says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can ever with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. If we take this understanding of circumcision and apply it to the significance, you will then see the spiritual significance and understand that circumcision doesn't get you to heaven. The cutting off of your foreskin, in plain and simple English, does not redeem you to God. We have to face truth in this way. Circumcising someone does not redeem them, nor does it make you holy, or nor any better. Why? The scriptures tell us that circumcision avails nothing. It profits you nothing for anything to do with God. See, why was it done? Because God wanted to show us something that we all must do. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Verse 2. He says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." So why did we have to get circumcised? Well, if you're doing circumcision for making yourself holy or getting closer to God, you missed the boat. Because you know what? Circumcision will not bring you any closer to God than you already are. It's quite a statement coming from the Apostle Paul. Not only does circumcision profit you nothing, but if you use circumcision as the basis of your salvation, you must needs fulfill all the law. Because if the law says you must do this in order for you to be redeemed, then you are a debtor to do everything that the law says, not just whatever you want. This is why I love the law of faith with God. It's so simple, and you know what? Even the fool can't make a mistake. You are a debtor to the whole law if you bring that up. Galatians 5 verse 3 says this, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law." If you think that circumcision has somehow to do with your salvation, or somehow to do to make you holy, somehow to make you closer to God. This is so many Christians fall into this trap. They figure, my flesh is going to get me closer to God. God's going to like it. Anybody here kept 10 commandments? I won't even go into the other stuff. Just 10 commandments. I'm not talking about all the things in the laws, how you, when you touch an unclean person, you did this and you did that. We won't even go there. I'll just give you 10. Did you do any? Did you keep them all? And you'll find you're short of the 10. Never mind the 159 that you got to do after. If you're not kept the law, you're guilty of breaking the law of God. If you broke one, you broke it all. Because the same God said, thou shalt not steal, also said, thou shalt not commit murder. Okay? We also know that no flesh is justified by the law. Even your foreskin, that piece of flesh, which to which the foreskin signifies or pictures, is flesh. That's all it pictured, was a piece of flesh. And it is your flesh that separates you from God. And God says, I will cut it away and remove it. And I have a covenant with you now. Flesh cannot save you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. I know a lot of people use this for winning souls, but we use this for circumcision so you might save your soul. Now, some people might say, well, is circumcision good or is it not good? Well, you want to know something? You do it or you don't do it. It doesn't matter to me. I will do it for hygiene. As a young boy, or as one, I was not circumcised. And I found that was things that were not exactly hygienically good for a young boy. But for religious reasons, there's no basis of anything. Period. And that's the way I like to leave it, because that's the way it is. I cannot say one thing. If you think you're going to get to heaven, you're losing it. Romans 3 verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why God gave you those Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And shall we live by them? Oh yes, they're good rules to follow, but also shows you what? It shows you that you failed. Mm-hmm. No flesh means no flesh. No flesh will glory in the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Whether you sin, whether you are circumcised or not circumcised, you're still sinned. And you're a sinner. Are you not? Now you realize this for the simple reason. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Go to Galatians chapter 6 is the one I want you to see. Galatians chapter 6. And I like how the Bible just kind of explains itself away. Galatians 6 verse 13 says this, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. So I find it quite understandably that circumcised or uncircumcised, you still break the law. But what you find is that salvation is based on faith and not the cutting of the flesh. Abraham was saved by faith and not by circumcision. That is what the scriptures say. Circumcision was given as a sign, a seal between God and those who would see the shadow of what God was about to do in their life of the good things to come. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and we read verse 1 to, I think it's 16. I try to find places where I could just miss some of it, but it just follows all the way through because of what we're talking about. Romans 4 verse 1 says this, and what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. To him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Was he not when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Very, very simple. The token of such a covenant was the piece of flesh. When given, then accepted, and you entered in. Circumcision was given as a sign of what God would do for you in the spiritual. What keeps us away from God? It is not our sinful nature. Our flesh being alienated from God and kept us from God. So that flesh must be removed in order for us to get closer to God. And this is what the whole thing about the circumcision and what it signified and what it pictured. You find the greatest fault that you're going to have and the hardest thing in your walk is your flesh. Your flesh and your desires want to because it does not like God. I don't care what anybody tells me, and I love God, I love God. You can tell me how much you love God all day. Your flesh doesn't like God. Your flesh likes dirt and mud and stink and whatever else. Say, no, it don't. Why do you keep going back to it? The biggest battle we have, God says he will remove it and thus set us free. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And watch this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 18, it says this. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And in that time, at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What is the enmity that separates us from God? What was nailed to the cross? What was removed at circumcision? Flesh, flesh, flesh. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, you don't have to turn there. But the natural man receiveth not of the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That is our nature. That's why God says, I'll give you a new nature. Not like that old one. Once the obstacle removed, fellowship is restored. It's all done supernaturally. A spiritual circumcision takes place. Our Lord and Savior is to do upon all those who want to have fellowship restored with God that we lost in the Garden of Eden. God says, I will circumcise thine heart. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You ever notice? It's not with the mind man believeth unto the salvation. What is it? The heart. Why the heart? It has to be from the heart because that is where God opens your heart. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live, to live eternally. Not just living in the natural, but living forever, walking with him. This is why God says, I will circumcise thine heart. The circumcision and the covenant of the circumcision that God was showing Abraham to do it, to do it in the natural, the type and the shadow to that which was going to be done, was to show what was going to, God was going to do with our hearts and openness and remove us and remove that flesh so we are able to fellowship with him. The circumcision that God is to do is the circumcising of our hearts by Jesus Christ. A supernatural circumcision that only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can do. It is done. Done supernaturally. Every one of us who believe, all of a sudden, it's new. It's open. All of a sudden, you begin to know. You begin to understand. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 11. He says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I want you to turn me to Jeremiah chapter 4. And as you're turning there, our high priest, Christ Jesus our Lord, would perform the spiritual circumcision. He would put away our flesh, cutting it off, getting rid of it once and for all. Now, turn me to Jeremiah chapter 4, and that's where I'm going to leave it this morning. It's got a ways to go, and I'm not going to get there. Jeremiah chapter 4, and I want you to see this. Remember I said about circumcised? Well, here it is so clear, and you can't miss it. Jeremiah 4, look at verse 4. He says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart. Mm-hmm. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evils of your doings. Circumcision, as we go further, and I'll show you some more, is that of what God wants done is supernaturally and spiritually speaking, when God will remove our flesh out of His sight and redeem us, we're able to have a covenant and fellowship. Circumcision is what that pictures. Okay? And this is where I'm going to leave it this morning. We'll have to pick up the rest of it next week because I've got too many pages to go and I don't have enough hours in the day. But let's just bow our heads in prayer as we just...